Hey, are you all ready to get this started?
Going live.
Listener discretion is advised.
Keep your head out there. They're going to do dumb. Play our game.
All right? Stay poised.
Play hard, but stay poised.
Get it done. Three, gonna be savage. Two, grab your shit. One, do it.
Let's be great. Let's be great.
Cheers, Bears fans. This is Bears Hour Live with Draft Dr. Phil Atoshin. I am Aldo Gandia, and I'm actually replicating the live open that we unfortunately were not able to recover with a technical difficulty. So we're picking up the show live right now.
Just watching
about 3 minutes
this
in.
Offense so dumbed down. As I tweeted out yesterday, Aldo, for Bears Barroom, I have a commitment to the fan and to our site and shows, guys. I love my followers, good, bad, or indifferent, whether we agree or not. I'm going to stand for my truths, and that's going to be it. But you can't deny a horse. A horse is a horse. You can't deny a jackass. A jackass is a jackass. They are what they are. When I watch an offense and a coaching staff tell me, well, you know, Mike gives us the best stuff pre-snap. Well, what happens after the snap is more important on a Sunday afternoon because it's about making plays in the NFL, not making the right checks. That'll come. That's learned. Now, if you're going to sell me that a veteran quarterback was brought in here because he does that, and he's going to give you that bridge and consistency at the quarterback position, then I'm not seeing it because I'm seeing forced passes, not going through their progressions, making the wrong decisions over and over. At some point, you got to look at what I tweeted out. This offense is so dumbed down. I mean, so dumbed down. The 289 yards of the offense, as producer Shane Marsaw tweeted me, texted me this morning, was from running backs, rushing or dump offs. The rest of the offense was a 17-yard pass to Zach Miller, a 2-yard touchdown pass to Shaheen, and a 9-yard catch by Deontay Thompson. That's it. Everything else went through the running backs. This is like watching the Army offense battle against Notre Dame. And granted, the Army offense is running a wishbone, inverted bone. And they're running down the field because they have to get advantages and angles and what have you. The Chicago Bears are an NFL team trying to tell you that Mike Glennon gives you the better opportunity to win. That's a lie. Okay, folks? We saw it the first preseason game. Me and Aldo started this whole Trubisky Now, the Godfather, right here. This show. You did. Trubisky Now, it's running rampant. You could just type Trubisky and Trubisky Now, a hashtag TRUB, all of a sudden Trubisky Now is going to pop up because that's going out there, folks, because we know. We're not dumb. Don't tell me when someone's ready. You've never played the position. You never coached. That's what we're trying to tell you here. They're lying to save face. It's not about the playoffs. If it was about the playoffs, to me, you start the rookie. Because as you see tonight, Dak Prescott running a naked boot, Aldo. Mm-hmm. My father and I were on the phone before the show started. He goes, right there, that's Trubisky, just running the waggle, getting out there. He's got two options. He reads one of them or runs. He gives your running game that much better of what you saw. There was 8 and 9 in the box, that offensive line. Kyle Long really brought an attitude adjustment to that line because they were firing out. That game was truly won in the trenches. All credit goes to the running backs, as always. But let me tell you, and I haven't gotten the chance to watch the coaches tape because I'm going to make sure you see how open these shitty wide receivers are. Okay, guys? The whole narrative that the wide receivers are bad and they couldn't get open. I'm sorry, guys. That's not going to fly. There are people open. This is from football people in the stands that I trust. I'm going to watch the tape. If it's not there, I'm going to say that. But if it is there, we're going to show you it. And it's really a detriment to what it is you're trying to do, and how is a rookie learning from a veteran quarterback that sucks? Ask yourself that. What are you learning? How not to play the position on the sideline? It's time to go in. It's time to go in. It's Trubisky now. Hashtag that up. I'm so tired of all the excuses and reasons. I tweeted out tonight. I was in the gym, and I'm like, you know what? I'm thinking about it. Wait a second. Deshaun Watson, Aldo, played on Monday Night Football, and then he had a short week and played the best team in the NFL, the world champion, with the best quarterback to ever play the game in Tom Brady, and he's going out there battling back and forth. Guess what he's doing? He's taking reps. He's seeing the speed of the game. He's learning on the go. And they're a better team because he's in the football game. Do you think the Bears are better with David Fales, for God's sake, in there than they are with this clown? I mean, Mitchell Trubisky's accuracy and athleticism, as we put up on the tape, Aldo, it's all right there. Those are traits, not focusing on who the competition is or whatever. We're looking at traits, athleticism, decision-making. That's all you got to see in a scrimmage to assess talent. He only could play who's in front of you. And I honestly, without a doubt, my son's, my whole life force on the line, I know Mitchell Trubisky gives this football team the opportunity to do something special. And that's not an exaggeration. It's just a reality, because you're selling a guy that's going to be a caretaker of the football. You're selling that he's pre-snap, he's a leader. The only thing this guy helped you do on Sunday was win the coin toss in overtime. That's it. Because really, ultimately, in every critical situation, he caved. He pissed down his leg, as I said. He did everything we talked about he couldn't do. And this whole team had to hurdle over him, Aldo, to win the football game.
Unbelievable. Let me tell our listeners that they can join in on the chat live. If you go to the MixLR.com website, they can interact with us live while Phil is sharing with us his expertise. I just put up a link to his video, his doctor's office video, where he dissects that first preseason game of Mitch Trubisky, and he goes through the mechanics that he has that are far superior to Glennon's. He goes through the accuracy. He goes through the rollouts, everything from A to Z. If you have any question whatsoever that Mitch Trubisky should not be the starter of this team, then you need to watch that tape, because it's there. It's there. It's there for you to see and for Phil to explain it to you. And this is not any bullshit. I'm not kissing his ass. I totally agree. Phil will be the first one to tell you that when I disagree with him, we disagree. We've gotten into some good ones. And this there's just no argument. You know, seeing is believing, and listening to this man's expertise about the quarterback position, it's a no-brainer. No-brainer. Boy, I got to tell
Aldo,
you.
Aldo, I always say two things. GMs lie, coaches lie, players lie, but tape never lies. And that is the game of football. Unfortunately, when you come in that Monday or Sunday, if you're playing on a Saturday, whatever day, and the coaches put up the tape, players know I'm going to be put and isolated on, and I'm going to be embarrassed. That's the job of the head coach and the positional coaches and coordinators, to recognize that we're teaching every chance we get. And right now, looking at what Mike Glennon did, out of his 15 whole completions, one to a wide receiver, there was only, I think, none of them traveled. Only one traveled. I forgot. The Zach Miller, the 17-yarder, traveled more than 10 yards, Aldo, in an NFL football game in a passing league in 2017. The Bears and coach Dowell Loggins pulled out Ernie Zampezi's 1992 Giants playbook. We're running power, counter, zone. They pulled it all out to get a win. Credit to Dowell for recognizing we're handicapped here. I mean, if you want to sell bubble wrap and protect a young core, I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to hurt him. He's going to get hurt. David Carr. How about Deshaun Watson? How about Derek Carr? How about a million other quarterbacks like Troy Aikman that, you know, suffered their bumps and bruises and ended up bringing it to the Super Bowl? You learn to play the game by actually playing it, guys. The kid is accurate and he's athletic. Let him get in there and run. He's not going to run this offense, guys. I got news for you. He's going to threaten zones and he's going to be able to throw the deep ball and you're going to see this team opened up. And if I was the head coach, there is zero doubt. You know this, Aldo. He would have been starting week one. We probably would have been 2-1. I'll give you last week's game against Tampa if you want. I'll give you that. But I know we'd have beat Atlanta, and I know we'd have won yesterday. And honestly, if I was hired today, Mitchell Trubisky would be in on the short week. He would be prepared with a whole package of his plays as well as things I would want to get him to do to challenge him to grow. And we would attack Green Bay, who's not prepared for a rookie on a short week. With this defense and this running game and the special team stepping up, what better time? You don't wait till next Monday night. Mm-hmm. That's the conservative approach. That's the stupid one. You got an opportunity to turn your season around right now. Glennon is a dead weight anchor hanging off the boat. He's killing you. He's not a help. Now let me say this one thing and then we'll move on. If Mike Glennon came out here and gave us 300-yard performances and touchdowns and consistent drives and people were dropping balls and missed field goals and play calls were curious, we've seen that before with Brian Hoyer. We've seen it before with Cutler. Mm-hmm. Mike Glennon looked awful in every game he's played. I don't give two shits what a PFF score is. I don't give two shits what some guy behind a computer, keyboard tough guy is telling me. If you want real football, talk to real people who've played it, who've coached it. It's no shot towards people who haven't. The eyeball test is one thing, and knowing the game and what is being asked of is another. And I'm telling you right now, as Aldo is a witness, you don't have to have played this game right now to recognize how bad Mike Glennon is. And that coach standing up there today selling you on that bull is disgusting on every level. And I tweeted out about Adam Gase. You want to see me eat crow? I was completely wrong in thinking that man was not ready to be a head coach. Now, his team got beat by the Jets, Phil. He's not a winner. He's got Jay Cutler. Whatever it is, he owned it. Mm-hmm. He said he called out his offense. He's telling the truth. That changes a culture. That puts players on notice because guess what, guys? It's their job. It's their job to catch, to block, to tackle. That's the job of the game. So the expectation is you should go in and perform. And if your head coach is inconsistent in his discipline, inconsistent in any kind of accountability, then you got problems beyond. And what happened with Cooper, as we're going to get into, is a reflection of the goddamn head coach.
It truly, truly is. And I want to play what it is that Coach Fox said about Glennon today. You made reference to it. Let's hear what he had to
coach
say.
Coach Fox, what you got to say?
Much like everybody else, you know, I think, it's really hard to say is there's perfection, like the rest of our team, he played well enough for us to win.
Phil, he's saying that Mike Glennon played well enough for the Bears to win.
Well, 9 of 15 completions, as producer Shane Marshall's texted me. Shout out to Shane, who's in the ER. He was going to show up on the show tonight with me, and we had some fun things planned, but we're going to crucify and kill the show tomorrow night mm-hmm. on Bears 100 Proof for Wednesday's podcast. But Shane's in the ER. His son got injured, but everything looks okay. Shout out to Riley and Shane Marsall. But right now, Aldo, to answer this, 9 of 15 of Glennon's completions came behind the line of scrimmage on the Gary Croton screens, as we call them here. And, I mean, you can't make it up. To have a head coach stand in your face, I gave an example a few weeks ago. I was playing the role of Coach Fox, and I asked Aldo what he thought of that. And I gave a straightforward answer, holding a scale to Mike Glennon and the play of Mike Glennon. And if that was coming from our head coach today, then you would hear a different opinion of what he had to say. But because he's sitting there and saying, Mike Glennon, let me say this again, folks. Mike Glennon played good enough. That's backwards thinking. That if you saw that game and you thought that turnover, I can't remember where it was, but it was on the Bears' side of the field, forcing a ball. I'm going to put it up. I've not had time. Obviously, I was at the wedding. You know and follow me and love what we do here. You know I put all the tape up because it doesn't lie. I haven't had the chance to do that, but Mike Glennon saying he was good enough is like saying, you went to McDonald's, you got your order, they gave you the bag, you drove about 3 miles, decided to open the bag to take a couple fries out, and guess what? There's nothing in the bag. Are you going to turn around and go back and get your order? I mean, what is he talking about here? I mean, good enough. Good enough. Those people paid good money to not see an injured Jordan Howard get injured for the season. Those people paid great money to see an actual NFL quarterback give them a chance to blow out an unprepared, overthought Steeler team, as Aldo saw and so graciously awarded the show with. There was an opportunity to really steamroll the Pittsburgh Steelers and make a statement with your defense, and have just a average offense in the passing game would have done that. But unfortunately, as you said, Mike Glennon hinders you. Aldo, is good enough dropping a shotgun snap in your hands? Is good enough stepping up in the pocket only to be met by a defensive lineman who's being blocked perfectly by an offensive tackle who just got good money and is doing his job, but you walk right into a sack? Is good enough walking up to the pocket with your eyes down and without seeing a right wide open down the field? Yeah. All you have to do is just wrist toss it like you're playing bocce in the backyard. He can't do it. And to sit here and have people argue when Trubisky's ready and Mike Glennon, be easy, you're too negative. I mean, I'm not negative enough. I would praise Mike Glennon till the cows came home if he came in here, as you know, Aldo.
Absolutely.
And we talked about this preseason. I will be the first one to eat crow, but I was the guy who watched the tape, saw some traits, was honest about Mike Glennon. I kept asking, who's Mike Glennon? He's going to tell us. Who's Mike Glennon? I have no idea. Me and Lauren Cox, countless times, I came up with this catchphrase. Who's Mike Glennon? We were going to print t-shirts out for the season. We found out who Mike Glennon is. He's an average quarterback to below who's a backup. And if you're going to sell that to Thursday night audience, guess who's on the call, Aldo? This is going to be great. Tony Romo is going to call out Mike Glennon's every stupidity error. And guess what? It's not going to be Bears Barroom getting the credit. Tony Romo's a genius. Meanwhile, Shane, Aldo, Phil, so on, have been saying this since the summer. And it's not about giving us credit. It's about recognizing that this didn't have to come to this. If they had opened up the competition,
yep,
first preseason game, it was very evident that there was coaching negligence. Mm-hmm. There was coaching negligence because you didn't say, you know what, we got something special here. And I always refer back to that show when Shane Marsaw used Devin Hester as the example of the moment, the moment, that 2 minute moment where he was giving up the opportunity to get on the field, and the coaches were praised by this show and all of us saying, wow, they really did it. They put Trubisky out there in the 2 minutes to test him. And guess what? Not only did he pass the test, he passed it with flying colors, Aldo. And he moved the ball down the football field and scored a touchdown. And then he kept doing it as the tape shows and we went through. I can go through every Trubisky throw. I put them all up there. I went through every Glennon throw, put them all up there. And if you had an open competition, the answer is so obvious. It's a racehorse versus a jackass. Who's going to win that race? It's clear as day, Mitch Trubisky, in a young season, in the first quarter, should be passed the baton. The team is already talking around the water cooler. Whether you want to believe that shit or not, it's up to you. But it's very clear that Mitchell Trubisky's athleticism, guess what, is going to help the wide receiver core that supposedly is not good, rather than hurt the wide receiver core that supposedly is not good. And you want to know why? Because he can move the pocket. He can gain more time. He can allow them to move and get open. And he can throw the ball downfield because he has a moxie to him. As I put up on the tape, he's looking downfield. He's not just running rampant. So the Mike Glennon is good enough story by John Fox is one that is a travesty to the American Bear fan and the worldwide Bear fan, because I believe people across the pond, including our own colleague, understand this game better than John Fox believes you do.
And Philip, I apologize if you mentioned this and I missed it because I was multitasking here, but the Dow Loggins game plan, isn't it simple enough for me to quarterback, much less Mitch Trubisky, a guy who is, by all accounts, there at Hallis Hall, studying, doing all the work? John Fox himself said that he was really happy with his progress and learning. So when we hear people criticizing the idea of Trubisky playing because they think that Trubisky is not ready to do the pre-snap reads and so forth, isn't this game plan by Loggins simple enough for a rookie quarterback to run?
Aldo, it's simple. It really is. They're running shallow crosses. There's eight in the box. They're not even threatening outside. In fact, there was one deep ball thrown. He's nervous in the pocket. He's rushed in every action game that you see. And granted, I watched the game twice now. I watched the 30 cut up on the Game Pass, and I watched it live as best as I could at a wedding. So once I get the tape in my hands, I'm going to give you a breakdown. Unfortunately, we don't get it until tomorrow. Right. When I do get it, I'm going to give you every analytical thought on everything I possibly could tell you. But in just watching the game and answering you appropriately, because everything in this offense has a safety valve, and Mike Glennon didn't even read reads. He just recognized that he needed to get to the safety valve, and that's why you saw all the catches by the running backs that happened. And Aldo, we can have a tryout, a Twitter quarterback tryout, and I believe that by next week I can get one of them coached up to run that same game plan. That's how it's really not that complex, the passing game. Now, there's some run plays where you're going to take a step back, and he had to go across and reach the zone. I mean, he's becoming such a great handoff artist. I don't think Mitch is ready for that. So, I mean, it's so ridiculous at this point to think he's not ready. He's not ready. This is the Mr. Ohio Football Player of the Year. Do you know what that is? That Ohio is a football state. It's a top five football factory for high school football players, five-star recruits. Mitch Trubisky was their Gatorade High School Player of the Year, co-player of the year with somebody else. I can't remember who it was. He goes down and chooses to try to turn around a program gets overlooked by a coaching staff, and we downgraded him deservedly because of who's Mitchell Trubisky at that point with 13 starts. You see the traits, you like a lot of things, but there's more consistency there. Then you get him in the NFL level, and you put him in a scrimmage, and you see him in practice, and you're seeing the ball explode off his hand, and accuracy, and athleticism, and timing, and everything you would hope Mike Glennon, who had 5 years in the league, would bring, but he doesn't. So at that point, as a head football coach, you got to step in, because this is your name on it. Your name's on it, not Dowell, not Vic, not Ted Phillips. They're going to go on. They're going to keep selling their next, we're going to have a town hall meeting, and, you know, everyone's staying except our coach. So it's your name on it, coach. So you need to say, this is not okay. If this is Ryan Pace bubble wrapping, or if this is John Fox saying, I don't want to go with a rookie. I don't understand why. I can't even, for the life of me, I'm talking to ex-NFL head coaches who are so baffled at the quarterback negligence that's going on in Chicago. They can't even believe that you have a possible, quote, you have a possible playoff caliber football team with that defense and that offensive line, and you're throwing away on a below average quarterback that couldn't even start for the Jets. Now, that's an exact quote from an ex-NFL head coach. They honestly are seeing what I'm seeing too, and Aldo, you're seeing. Why is this happening? Maybe they're trying to pull the sneak. They're going to quarterback sneak on Thursday night. Maybe they've seen enough. They realize it. Because anything that I see is really, there's no doubt in my mind that this kid should be starting Thursday night, going into Green Bay and shocking the world. And now all of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers and his little tantrums mean absolutely nothing because there's a new direction. And you have an opportunity as a head football coach to make that shit happen. And ultimately, if you lose going down with Mitch Trubisky, you freaking gave it your best effort. And every fan this side of the country, across the world, that is still watching the game of football is not only going to embrace that, they're going to recognize that finally we've turned the page, and our number one goal as a franchise isn't Ted Phillips telling everyone to trust the plan, that we're actually seeing that winning is taking precedence over everything else.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I would love to see Trubisky in there Thursday, particularly with the speed rushers that the Packers have, Clay Matthews, Nick Perry on the outside, Kyler Fackrell, comes in and on pass rushing situations. You know, they've got some speed there, and unfortunately, Glennon is going to be a dead duck back there, whereas Trubisky has the speed, the athleticism to avoid that pass rush, and we saw in preseason his accuracy when he's throwing on the run is phenomenal. It really is. This should be a no-brainer, and in listening to John Fox talk today, He almost, you know, I keep wondering if Ryan Pace isn't the one that's saying, hold off, and willing to sacrifice some losses to give Trubisky more time or a softer opponent to play. And if that's the cause of what's going on, I wrote today at bearsbarroom.com, that's a treasonous act. You know,
exactly,
that the management of this team cannot be throwing games or cannot be preventing the best players from going onto the field. If they're doing that for whatever reason, it's treason.
It is. And you know why, Aldo? Who gave the Chicago Bears the chance to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers this weekend? I didn't. Did anybody that you know think the Bears were going to go out and beat the Steelers? This league is about athletes creating matchups, finding them, and seeing if you can dissect and take advantage of them. But sometimes there's that miracle that happens. And that offensive line, led by Kyle Long, decided that they were going to take it upon themselves to win this game in the trenches as long as Jordan Howard was going to keep throwing body blows, body blow, and body blow. No matter how hurt he was, he kept getting up. That superseded what your quarterback was doing to give you a loss, really. Because let's face it, we've seen this time and time again that, you know, the quarterback blows it, the Steelers get another opportunity, they got all these weapons, boom, touchdown, game over. This team stepped up. And like I said, the kid won the coin toss, and that's about it. I saw him make one NFL throw to Zach Miller, and that was it. I'm not going to live on moral victories for a quarterback or moral victories ever. That's not good enough. And if it's good enough for your coaching staff or GM, that's a treasonous act, as you said, and it's disgusting because there is no easy team. There is no soft schedule. Every game comes with its hurdles, and it's up to you as a coaching staff to have your team prepared and focused on the prize, and that's the victory. And if Mitchell Trubisky isn't going to give the Chicago Bears the best chance to win, then I'm quitting. I quit. Because I don't know this game as much as I thought I did. Because that, to me, is obvious as the prettiest woman at the bar. It's obvious. It's not something that you can't see. And as Shane wants me to say, it's like giving your kid filling the car. Oh, geez, I blew it for you, Shane. That's like thanking your kid for filling the car with gas before you drove it off the bridge. Before he drove it off the bridge. We're not going to be doing this with Mike Glennon, okay? It's time. It's Trubisky now time. I believe the people that I respect, I really do, think, oh, you wait till next week, then you give him a... He's ready! He's been... practicing and playing and taking virtual reality lessons, for God's sake, for weeks. He's ready to play this simple offense because you got a great running game. You really do. And you got a good offensive line. Good to average offensive line. Tackles played better.
Mm-hmm, they did.
It's time. It's time. He's going to go out there and he's going to make a mistake or two. But so is Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon is making mistakes. A veteran quarterback should never make that throw again, right to the same type of play, to a, forcing it in there to a tight end when you have three other guys open, is unforgivable, really. It's unforgivable when you're so starved for any kind of offense. Like, people will argue, well, Jay Cutler's not here. But if Jay Cutler threw that ball, it would be unforgivable. But the 17 other completions he had would say, okay, he's going to make a mistake. You know what I'm saying, Aldo?
Yep.
when you're living with a guy that's dinking and dunking and dinking and dunking, he can't make the fumbling the ball, falling down, can't get the playoff, has to call a timeout, doesn't know the cadence. All this stuff is going on, then it's time. You're getting more with a rookie than you'll ever get out of Mike Glennon, and a fan base and a following that we have in our building, and we appreciate you. It's Trubisky now.
For those fans who, and I was one of them, who questioned, you know, well, Trubisky only started 1 year in college, and I was one of them. I was against drafting him in the first round because I was concerned about only having 1 year of college football. Shane Marsaw shared a story, and I just reached him on Twitter and direct messaging. God bless Shane. He's out there caring for his child, but he's also lending an ear to what we're doing and giving us some information. Well, Shane knows a guy in the athletic department over at North Carolina, and he said this guy told Shane that everyone over there at college knew that Trubisky, and this includes the players and some of the other people in the coaching staff, knew that Trubisky clearly was the better quarterback and should have been starting earlier, but the coach, Larry Fedora, wanted to stay with the upperclassman and Marquise Williams. And all of those people were right, as Shane pointed out. You know, Marquise Williams was going undrafted, and Mitch Trubisky was the second overall pick. There's a reason why. Everyone can see what Phil has been describing, this guy's athletic talents, the way he throws that football, on and on and on. This should be a no-brainer, and everyone who is a true blue Chicago Bears fan should jump on our bandwagon and should be hashtagging Trubisky now. Let's let Bears management know that at the very least, let's give the guy an opportunity. And I love what Phil said. Phil said, we do so many shows here, I forgot which one it was. But Phil said that, hey, if Trubisky starts 13 games and we lose all 13 of them, then so be it, because at least we went down fighting. And that's perfectly said. We're not putting the best guys out there when you're starting Mike Glennon. All right, Phil, why don't you put a bow on the Glennon Trubisky talk, because there's so much more to talk about yesterday's game.
Yeah. Oh, I think we surmised it pretty well. It's Trubisky now. I think 140 characters sometimes I try to fit in as much as I can for the fan. There's been a lot of debate. There's nothing personal ever with me, you know. Don't take it personally, but at points, it's just to the extent where it's gotten out of control with the protecting of Mike Glennon, and I'm just tired of it. So I'm going to speak the truth, and my truth, I know I'm right here. I'm tired of losing. I've seen this team perform and seen the positive times. I've seen the negative times, as all of you have. This is a mistake, and it needs to be addressed by putting Trubisky in. There's no other way. You're not going to beat Green Bay with Mike Glennon. You're not. You're not going to have that miracle game where everything went right and you're going to be able to run football against them and destroy them and have Mike Glennon make a few mistakes and be limited. It's just not going to happen, and it's really not on that receiver core, because I've seen Jay Cutler.
Keeping it 100.
Peyton jumped the gun there a little bit, but I agree with him. You're keeping it 100. Go ahead, finish your thought, Phil.
I've seen Jay Cutler perform with less talent, and he was able to move it. I think accuracy and athleticism, the ability to extend the football play, is going to help those receivers. Anytime you have accuracy, you have an opportunity to do what? You catch the football, and that's what you need at this point, because I think everybody, including the running game and the offensive line, is going to improve with his play.
Absolutely. Now, one point that I want to make to what Phil just said about, you know, we get on Twitter, we get on social media, we're all very passionate about our point of view, which is one of the reasons I wanted to name the website and what we do as Bears Barroom, because this is the atmosphere. When we go to a bar to have a couple of beers and watch the game, we argue with one another, but it's all good natured. At the end of the game, at the end of the debate, we all shake hands, we all hug each other. There's no animosity whatsoever. So to Phil's point, you know, I totally agree with him. If you think that Phil is ragging you or you know, calling you ignorant or something like that, that's not the case at all. It's just very passionate people, you and him, going at it and exchanging ideas. Now, I want to get to Jordan Howard, because at the top of the show, Phil, you talked about his heroism. And this is what Howard said after the game when he met the media about his injury.
Sometimes I was hurt pretty bad. I didn't feel like I could finish, but Benny Cunningham, he kept pushing me through here, my coach. I just saw my team, and they kept fighting, so I had to keep fighting.
That guy did keep fighting, and God bless his teammates who I guess they were pretty confident he wasn't going to further the injury, but they motivated him to get out there and keep pushing, and he turned in a phenomenal performance.
Absolutely, Aldo. I mean, when you look at Jordan Howard and the integrity and the compassion and heart and drive and everything you look for in a running back, you know, people were thinking it's the end, it's time to turn the page on the poor kid, when really ultimately the demons and the head case mental mountain that you have to climb to play that position, you saw him attack the hole. You saw guys blocking and selling out Sims, the tight end, coming in here and really setting the edge. Leno, Massey recovering that fumble, critical play. Tariq Cohen fumbling the ball, could have been the game. Massey getting out. Everybody was working in unison, and that's why we're so adamant about what Jordan Howard did for this team was to really hurdle Mike Glennon, the Pittsburgh defense, and everybody, and really, as selfish as I was in loving, and I, you put it great in saying that would have been one of the greatest endings to a football game, and I believe 100%, I'm sure that Tariq Cohen was in. I'm not even concerned about our colleague Shane Marsaw or anybody else. That kid never stepped out. You see green grass, shout out to Cal and Scar. Scar New York out in New York.
He sent that photo.
For putting those, yeah, he sent the photos. You got the videos. It was clear as day to me. This kid was in. What a tremendous effort on his part, too. But really, in God's way, finally, you saw the true beast of the afternoon, the guy who put everything into it, that was knocked out of the game three times only to come back in, not only put his face into people, put his shoulder, his hurt shoulder, into people and get in the end zone at the very end of the game to put the Steelers out. He gets it into there. What better way for a young man to just have a walk-off touchdown? Like I said, I selfishly wanted Cohen for my fantasy team and for the dramatics of it was, but it was still emotionally just amazing to see that young man, the warrior that he is. And I believe another shout-out to Scar, who put it so well in saying in a tweet about how you should rip the captain's C off Mike Glennon and put it on Jordan Howard because of what he did in that game. Really, I don't think the common fan realizes that even sometimes when you have a backup guard in there who's really a tackle, given that kind of effort and everybody's going and you're meeting people, there was a critical third down play where he just gets lit in the backfield clean and he breaks off the tackle, spins, almost breaks it. And Jordan Howard we're talking about. And really, I'm going to put that play up because that play right there shows heart and determination. You've seen it here before back in the days with the greatest that ever's done it, and that's Walter Payton. Jordan Howard really played like a man possessed, Aldo. I cannot agree more with putting the captaincy on that kid because really, people, I think he was very angry with how people are viewing him in comparison to the explosive Jordan, Tariq Cohen. And I think Jordan Howard really put his stamp on who he is with the Chicago Bears football team.
How good can this duo be of Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard?
Tremendous, because they both have different styles but approach the game similarly. Mm. And that's what people excuse and they overlook. They're both stretching the play and are willing to take on contact. You know, You compare Tariq Cohen to a lot of backs, Sproles I've heard, and a bunch of others. I compared him to Danny Woodhead coming out when he was coming out of the draft at Bears Barroom because he's not afraid to hit the crease and put his face into oncoming traffic. This kid maintains balance and is able to spin off contact. I mean, he embarrassed. I'm talking embarrassed Shazier. And Shazier is one of the top backers in this league, yep. As fast as he is. I'm going to put this play up. I haven't seen it yet, and I hope no one puts it up because I want to do it for Bears Barroom. But there is a play where Tariq Cohen isolates one-on-one for Shazier. Shazier just comes up with arms because he just can't. He's so quick that he can't get out of his stance and his breakdown to make the play. He absolutely freezes Shazier because he's threatening so much. I mean, you saw it on that great run that got the Bears got screwed over, and we got to talk about the refs. But those two together, similar in talent, obviously the explosiveness of Cohen just gives you another dimension that absolutely is going to frustrate teams. And you saw the Steelers were frustrated because it's like two great pitchers, and one comes in and closes out the game, and one could pitch all the innings, and then the other one could pitch all the innings. They're just so talented that they have everything to counteract one another but still have similarities. And that is going to force defenses to be on their toes, and that really is going to help the Chicago Bears and Mitchell Trubisky, as well as the offensive line really looked happy to be doing this, because it really you ask an offensive lineman what they prefer, they're going to say run blocking every single time. I've coached offensive linemen. They're just a different breed. They're the smartest guys on the football field next to the quarterback, and they get criticized and they overlooked, and they're called dumb linemen, but really they get it, and you could see the excitement of those guys, and really they loved getting in and blocking people for these two backs. Who wouldn't? I think Kyle Long addressed it when he recognized that Jordan Howard was in pain and coming back in. And he had a moment where he felt bad, but then he recognized this competitor is coming in here sacrificing for us. I'm going to do everything in my power to make this happen for him. That's teamwork, guys. There is no I in team. This Chicago Bear team behind Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen were able to get a victory from a talented Steeler team. There's no limits in my mind to where these two running backs could take this team.
Now, we have to talk about probably the play most people are talking about throughout the NFL universe, and that was the special teams block of the Steelers. Was it a punt or a field goal? I'm forgetting. It was a punt. And then Marcus Cooper, making this awful mistake. Why don't you take us through that play? What happened at the head end of the play, and what happened at the tail end of the play, and give us your analysis. And I'm interested in knowing how you would have dealt with Cooper, given your coaching experience, how you would have dealt with Cooper when he approached the sideline.
Well, first of all, it was a field goal, and Sherrick McManus came clean off the wing, blocks it, and then you scoop and score. Now, this young man picks up the ball, does everything right, showing you his speed. I think he was like 8 to 10 yards in front of the closest defender there,
right. And
I think it was Vance McDonald who came over there in a trade from San Francisco to the Steelers.
Who was the holder on the play, correct?
No, he was actually the wing guy.
Okay.
Who didn't give up. He didn't give up on the play. Tight end, Vance McDonald. The holder actually came in behind him. So he was about 15 to 12 yards behind Cooper.
Gotcha.
So to give you perspective, he's running, and the guy clearly is lying. Okay, let me get this out in the open. Those of you thinking that he's made a mistake and thought he was in the end zone, no. It's very clear. You're right on the left sideline. You see the orange cone. You know you got to cross the goal line. You sprint through, dive into the end zone, flip, do whatever you got to do. It's the only time I've ever wished there was a Lambo leap, because the dumbass would have actually probably ran through and did the Lambo leap in Chicago. But instead, it only is okay to do that in Wisconsin for those fucks. That being said, here we are running through. He stops to be a smartass, thinking he's so far ahead of everybody else that he's going to machismo this moment for himself instead of thinking about the team. And really almost cost you a football game with his sheer stupidity. I thought it was going to be a safety, because now this guy drops, swipes at the ball, and now it's fumbling. Now, if the Bears recovered in the end zone, it's a touchdown, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the Steelers recovered in the end zone, it would have been a safety. So I don't know how the bat out became at the one. I still don't know that rule. I thought the bat out would have given the Bears a safety, but instead they false start, they kick a field goal, and really ultimately Cooper, that play is never going to be forgotten. He's going to have to live with that mistake. So if I'm fortunate that he didn't say that was just stupid, because saying he thought he was in the end zone to me is an absolute lie. And how I would have dealt with this guy, I would have lost my mind on the football player, to be perfectly honest. Get his ass out, sit over here, and me and him would have a conversation. And to see this football player's importance to your team on the defensive side of the football, I totally disagree with anyone saying he needed to be cut. I believe the cap man said something like that. You just don't get it. Every moment in football is a teaching moment. I would have lost my mind. You would have been on the bench, and you've been sat there until I was able to go over there and we were going to discuss this. Like, what the hell did you do? And the fact that we were able to get 3 points out of it would have lessened my agita, and we would have talked and learned about it. The guy came back out, say what you want about the play. It was stupid on every level and disgusting and embarrassing, okay? But he came out and played his ass off and really did a tremendous job on that talented Steeler, those weapons on the offensive side, those receivers. So ultimately, I'm not going to get on Fox for not cutting him and throwing him in the locker room and pulling the Mike Singletary with Vernon Davis and all that stuff. I think there's a lesson to be learned there, and hopefully Fox and him had that conversation, or his position coach. It's a special teams play. I'm not going to hurt my defense by removing this talented football who's been playing a whale of a game up until that point, too. And really, it was just stupidity, and you learn from that. So hopefully he takes that and never does that again, and maybe there's an interception or something in Thursday night's game that's going to let Marcus Cooper have a little bit of a redemption.
Yeah, Shane just sent me a message saying that Vance McDonald said about Cooper that was completely unprofessional what Cooper did. You can't do that, very unprofessional. And then you just said that you're not going to get on Coach Fox, you know, for, you know, not cutting him and so forth. And I totally agree with you. But what I am going to get on Coach Fox about, and I'll talk more about this on tomorrow night's taping of Bears 100 mm-hmm. Proof, which will be out on Wednesday morning. What I am going to get on Fox about is the fact that I think that that kind of behavior by Cooper happens because Fox isn't strong enough in practices and in team meetings telling players, you don't fucking, excuse my language, you don't do that shit on my football team, which is something that Bill Belichick would do. Bill Belichick has taken on some of the so-called biggest malcontents on his Patriots team, and then all of a sudden these guys are angels when they're with the Patriots. Why is that? Okay, I'm giving away my rant for tomorrow, but you get where away. I'm going, right?
I did start it off the show. It is a reflection of the head coach mm-hmm. when you're doing, and Vance is completely correct, yep. and everybody in that stadium saw it. It was unprofessional, and it's a reflection of him. If it's not addressed, I mean, if you're seeing that happen again, then you know that he's not running the tightest of ships when it comes to players taunting and stupidity. You take the touchdown every time. I'm sure, I'm 100% sure that if Marcus Cooper had that opportunity to do it again, he would not do what he did. But it isn't here or there, and you're 100% right, Aldo. It is a reflection of the head coach. I would have made sure my whole damn team watched that 5 times on Monday, okay? And we would break Marcus Cooper's balls for at least 30 minutes. Let's rewind it again, guys, and I would embarrass that football player, because peer pressure and mental games are a part of coaching. Whether people want to say it or not, I'm going to tell you the truth. I did it all the time with my players to get the most out of them and to give them a laugh and to be able to laugh at yourself. And that takes boundaries and removes them, because now coach is making fun of himself on the sideline. He's making fun of that guy, the star on our team. He's making fun of everybody. And you know what? I don't want to be that guy made fun of by coach. I don't want to let my coach down. I don't want to let my team down. So if I was coach for this team, obviously we'd be 3-0, but we'd also have some lessons learned in a way that would help teach them, because that's going to reflect on me. Just like not starting Trubisky, as I said, is a reflection of the head coach, and not Dowell. Pace is up there. No one knows. So it's on Fox. Is Fox strong enough to do this move that should be? This is a chess game, guys. Lovey used to break it down in quarters of season. I know I'm going back to the quarterback, but it's time to make that move that no one's expecting. Trubisky now. That's the move. And what are fans going to feel like if the Bears go up in the Lambeau with Mitch Trubisky starting and win, and now you're 2-2? You have an opportunity to do something special, all the while turning the chapter and the face of the franchise there. Because Mike Glennon, guess what? It's never the face of the franchise. It's Freddy Krueger out there, okay? He's not pretty at all on anything. His face, the way he stands, the way he takes a snap, the way he calls a play, the way he plays. It's time. It's Trubisky now time.
We got a couple of questions from guys who are offering up similar questions. First, Tom O'Malley wants to know, how come the only place that he can find Leonard Floyd is on the side of a milk carton? And Frankie Myers.
I think he stole that from our boy, Jose Cotto, who did a great job. But go ahead.
There you go. And Frankie Myers just now on our MixLR chat page asked the question, what do you think Fangio is going to do with Floyd this week? This Packers starting offensive line is in the nurse's office. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great question. I mean,
it's a great question.
Is Floyd going to drop back in coverage as much as he has, or is he just going to let him go and get after Rodgers? What do you think?
Let me say this. Floyd had an opportunity to make a huge play and totally whiffed on it. You don't leave your feet. You run through the man. This kid has done this before. I've gotten on him. I don't have favorites, okay, guys? I like you play to become my favorite. I have been critical of Leonard Floyd because of the size and the injuries and the inconsistency. He's not been anywhere near good. He's been dropping into zones, and the pass rushes that you've seen, he's been stalled. He's been falling down. He's loafing against Tampa when the game was out of reach. He needs to be better. And when you have an opportunity to come clean, I mean, you saw Bryce Callahan come in clean and actually put Big Ben down. You got to be able to clean that up. Don't leave your feet. Learn from that again. How they're going to use him, he needs to get home. McPhee got home. My boy Willie Young got home. You only get a few opportunities to rush the passer. I don't like that they're dropping him in, but it's not like they're doing it all the time. I don't have the PFF numbers. We could talk about that on tomorrow's show, but what I see from Willie Young is he's getting stalled, and he wasn't playing up against a great NFL tackle this past week. He's lining up on the left side and the right side. He needs to get home. He had an opportunity on what he does best, and that's that stunt where he's able to come inside and loop through. They run an X stunt. He gets clean. He beats the center. He's clean to crush Big Ben and make a big play. You got to get home on that. You can't miss that. How they're going to use him, I don't know. I think they need to get a pass rush against Aaron Rodgers. Leonard Floyd becomes a weapon. You've seen him play really well against the Packers. I believe he's going to have a breakout game this week. That was my gut feeling this morning. I'm going to roll with that, but it's got to be better. If you're just a homer and you love Leonard Floyd, there's a few beat writers, one in particular, that just has a love affair with Leonard Floyd and could see no faults. There is faults in his game, and he needs to improve on it. And if you think it's good enough and that the only reason why he's not getting home is because he's dropping it to coverage. You're really not watching the game. You're watching it through Leonard Floyd colored glasses. It needs to happen, and he needs to be a big part. Your whole plan this offseason was to see him improve and become a foundational piece to this defense. Right now, he's been average to below average in what he does best. There has been plays where I feel like he's improved his technique. He's delivering the blow. He's extending the arms, making plays where he would just get washed out. But it's not been consistent at all. The guy is right to be questioning his ability to be on a milk carton, because right now it needs to get better.
Our next question is from the smartest man in the bar room. He comes on Mix LR, and he wants to ask you the question, what is your favorite Trey McBride Chicago Bear moment?
I mean, to be perfectly honest, I don't even understand the concept of what they're doing at the wide receiver position. And I know Shane's trying to make a joke, but really, ultimately, do we know what Trey McBride was? Has any Bears receiver that has shown a glimpse, aside from Cameron Meredith, who we saw the glimpse and then it took injuries to get on the football field, have they been given the right opportunity? And then you look at the game, the receivers that you have are MIA. They cut receivers, Gentry and McBride, who two of the guys that I feel like could be helping this football team, they cut them. Obviously, Gentry's on the practice squad. McBride will probably be re-signed or he's done. I don't understand the personnel decision-making when you have a Josh Bellamy dropping critical touchdown passes, critical game-winning, drive-killing passes on a consistent basis. The kid is able to get open. Bellamy, that is. He's shown the tendency to get open, but you got to be able to catch the football. It can't be a 50-50 shot, and anybody saying it isn't is fooling themselves, because you're all holding your breath every time the ball goes his way, whether he's going to catch it or not. But he can maintain a roster spot, but others don't even get an opportunity to showcase. You know, that's a liability in my own. It's always been with Dowell Loggins or whoever's making the decision at the wide receiver position.
We just got a question in from Cloudy Future. He wants to know, what is it that Josh Bellamy does well?
I honestly, him and John Fox loves this football player. I'm not questioning the kid's toughness. I was even thinking that you could possibly move this kid to safety 2 years ago and get a great football player out there who has some experience at receiver. And he showed toughness. He goes down on kickoffs, covers kicks. He's fearless. He's physical. He did a great job. Someone was questioning whether or not that was a holding penalty or a legal block on Josh Bellamy on the Cohen run. That was an absolute textbook job by Josh Bellamy on that Cohen run. That was absolutely how you stalk block and how you finish. Not a penalty. Very clear. Josh is going to give you great effort down the football field. Josh Bellamy dropping footballs and being inconsistent, taking away reps where you can actually build someone like a Tanner Gentry or a Trey McBride, to me, isn't forward thinking. In a 3-10 football season, what is this, his 10th win as the head coach now? Last year, you're 3-10. We talked and laughed about Heath Evans and the NFL Network crew talking about, once you put Mitch in, you're conceding that you're rebuilding. They don't know jack shit about the Bears. They're rebuilding once they took Mitchell Trubisky and signed a journeyman backup for life quarterback who threw 11 passes since 2014, guys. Let's be honest. Mike Glennon, we didn't even know what he was. We were rebuilding then. Why don't we rebuild with some semblance of talent at the wide receiver position? I saw it with Tanner Gentry. I saw it with Trey McBride. I saw it with Daniel Braverman. These are younger guys that, if given the opportunity to learn on the job, you would actually assess them for what they are. But instead, you're seeing some sort of negligence at that personnel decision. It's a lack of accountability on every level by this coach and the offensive coordinator. So Josh Bellamy, to me, really doesn't do much for you offensively but get open and give you an opportunity to be let down. And that's not a chance I want to take. I'd rather give that opportunity to somebody else than to consistently see it happen over and over through seasons. We're not talking about, well, he had a bad few weeks and then some drops like you're seeing it with Oakland, with Amari Cooper, who I love, is having a season to forget. He's dropping the football. He's done it before where he, you know, there's no questioning his talent. So he's in a slump. Josh Bellamy's slump has been forever. So how he's out there taking reps to me is ridiculous, and it's mind-boggling at this point.
Phil, before we get off here, because we're already a little over an hour, I know you had a debate with people about Sherrick McManus. I wanted to get your thoughts on McManus before we say our final words.
Well, here's my thing. Yeah, Sherrick listened to the show and came ready to play. He recovered a muffed punt, which is his job, guys. Okay, let's get this right. Run down, hustle to the football, and recover. He's not going in the Hall of Fame for doing that, okay? He blocked his second field goal, or block. I think he blocked his second kick ever. I think he blocked a punt in 2012 against the Titans, as the Godfather told me. So he's blocked two kicks in his career, and he runs down and covers. We're not putting him in the Hall of Fame. If you're going to have a Houston Carson on the roster, you're going to have a Josh Bellamy and a Deontay Thompson and a kicker and a punter and a long snapper. You can't have all these special teams players. I think McManus came to play. He made a couple plays. We saw how it turned out. But I'm not ready to say we need Sherrick McManus on this football team in order to be successful. They love him. To me, he's a good special teams veteran that could be easily replaced with a younger player that can give you snaps on special teams as well as defense. And unfortunately, it queues up and holds up another roster spot and another opportunity to assess personnel in what you're considering a rebuilding year, because you're bubble wrapped your actual franchise quarterback for an absolute travesty of a quarterback. The other thing is with Sherrick McManus is he gives you nothing on the defensive side of the football. He gives you absolutely nothing. He's a liability. So there once again, there's two strikes on the guy that can cover kicks, did his job. Shout out to you, Sherrick, for doing your job and making a play. But if he was a consistent field goal kick blocker, then I would have a completely different tune, because that's value. And I'm not going to try to take away, but I'm just trying to look at it from the whole seasonal perspective than to assess one game where he actually did something of value in my book. I just don't see his worth to this roster going forward, when you have younger and more talented football players that you can actually build on.
Phil, before I ask you for your final words, I want to thank Shane Marsaw, who is just sending me tons of information, and he wanted to remind us that we should say a couple of words about Pat O'Donnell's father, who passed away on the 19th. Pat O'Donnell on Instagram posted a photograph of him and his father. His father, looking a little frail, I must say, but looking quite handsome in his Bears shirt and Bears hat. And Pat's message was, "Happy birthday, Dad. I know you had the best seat of the game today." So he clearly was referencing his father's, you know, watching from the heavens above. And Pat O'Donnell, I'm not actually on Instagram, so I'm not familiar with how that works very well, but I asked Shane to send me Pat O'Donnell's Instagram ID, so if anybody wanted to follow him and wish him the best on the loss of his father, it's all lowercase, Pat O'Donnell, no apostrophe, _16 Pat O'Donnell _16 Give him a follow. Send him your best wishes and your condolences on his loss. And Phil, let me turn it over for you for give us your final thoughts for a minute or two.
Well, first on Pat O'Donnell, kid's been punting really well this year. I do know his uncle very well, Coach Franny Stoop, Franny Stepakovich. And Pat is just a class act and a classy person. I wish him nothing but the best. I can only imagine the pain of losing your role model and your parent, your father, who taught you the game, who's been there by your side. So I could only tip the hat to Pat O'Donnell, playing that game with the passion that he did, knowing that his dad is up in heaven watching down on him. And really, shout out to him and his family from all of us at the Bears Bar Room and Bears fan for their loss and what is going on with their family. But as we move forward, though, Aldo, I'm excited because it's Packer week, and we got a great lineup of shows. I was so impressed with Aldo Gandia's Bears on Tap show, giving you a look from the other side, as well as some insight from Bears people, as well as the Godfather himself. And it's just must listen radio when I assess talent around the team, the local station, the media, and Ham. It's just sometimes befuddling that you have the opportunity to do so much great analysis, and you really tend to actually be on the lower end, on the barroom floor end of your analysis and the local media. And that's no shot at them. It's just the damn honest truth. And there's some great people that do there that don't get enough time to do it, like an Olin Cruz or a Greg Gabriel that go in there and actually just show it and say it like it is. But, you know, that's what this is, and Aldo brings it. That's every Friday. Look for that show. Obviously, we got a new show I thought was tremendous as well with John Buffone, nephew of Doug Buffone. Those of you listening in, love me. I'm telling you, it's a fun time. Once again, the Godfather really lays the spikes down for Buffone, who really gives a passionate look at the week ahead and what's going on with the Bears. And then, of course, Wednesday, you know, Aldo does a tremendous job bringing the Chicago Bears to a different level in the Bears 100 Proof. You Can't Handle the Truth show. We have just drops and fun and a real look at the Bears in the week. And this week is going to be special. Obviously, the smartest man in the bar room, as I call him, Shane Marsaw, bringing the humor and busting my chops, because just like I said, you got to laugh at yourself. You have to be able to do those things. And that's what we do at the bar room, because it's about this great team. You know, you might hate the franchise, the owners, and you recognize that a lot of the problems tend to come from that, but it's really an addiction, and it's really a love affair that really transcends generations, as I'm teaching my sons and daughters the importance of the game of football, as well as being prideful and following the Chicago Bears. It's just a great thing, and the Bears Barroom is an extension of you, the listener and fan, and we really delve deep into the truth, and we call out all the demons and all the frauds and all the bullshit, and we have a lot of fun doing that show, and that's on Wednesdays. And I gotta be honest, Aldo, this is Packer week. The show is going to be epic. I thought we tackled a lot of what we wanted to get to. I wanted to shout out Isaiah Robles, who really has been a tremendous following on Facebook, promoting the show. He has got a site, Bears Turf, and there's a bunch of other people that I want to shout out, but we're going to do that tomorrow. But I want to make sure I shouted out him and a bunch of stuff is on the forefront this week. I'm going to try to delve into the film room, Aldo, and get some real looks at these wide receivers and what they weren't or were able to do with the derelict at the quarterback position. So I'm ready to rock and roll. I know we went over the Bears hour, but I think it was worth it because we were able to tackle everything that's really happening. And hopefully some of these guys that were banged up, like a Josh Sitton, is ready to attack his old club and get a W back here in Chicago.
Phil, we're having a little problem with our playback of our music. So while I say a couple of final words, I want you to get your throat ready because I want you to hip hop rap us out of the show. But before I give you the cue to begin, I want to thank Cloudy Future, Frankie Myers, Tom O'Malley, and George for their questions. Rad Chad Zone and Dustin Reagan Padilla, we're going to get to your questions tomorrow and the rest that I missed today. I promise you we will collect them all and get to your questions tomorrow. By the way, Dustin, you know Shane has to be here to help answer your question because you know he's going to come out with some funny, smart-ass remarks. So we'll tackle that on tomorrow night's taping, and that show will be available sometime after midnight is usually when I get done mixing and posting it. And again, thanks to Shane, who was tending to a family injury to his son, Riley, and still took time to listen to the show and send us thoughts. We had dozens of listeners tonight. Thank you all for listening. And remember, if you drink, please don't drive, and always bear down. Take it away, Phil.
You got to bear down in this league in order to win the big games. That's what's going to happen. This week, you're going to face your rival, the oldest running rival in the history of the NFL. How is this team going to respond to their first win? Their first win in a long time coming across. And these rookies, how are they going to step up in the rivalry? Shaheen took a step. Cohen is explosive. The kicker, Barth, missed the critical field goal. How's he going to come back in Lambeau Field? Is it going to be too big? We are going to find out, and we are going to break it all down here every Monday at Bears Hour Live and all week at the Bears Barroom Radio Network. Thank you for listening. I love you all. We'll see you next week.
Got to put a beat to that, and we'll have it up tomorrow. Phil, awesome job. Thanks very much, man.